When it comes to venom, every drop counts. No one knows this better than the funnel web spider, one of the world's deadliest eight-legged freaks. This is definitely one arachnid you don't want to annoy, since the angrier they are, the more venom they'll send your way. But why not just give the full dose out with every bite? Well, it's all a part of conserving your lethal resources here in life, death, and taxonomy.
Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy. It's your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And thank you to Johanna for the creation of this week's artwork. To check that out, you can visit us at our home on the web at ldtaxonomy.com. And a very special thank you to our patrons, to Jesse Raspolich, Carol Raspolich, Richard Caspar, Lottie Aubrey, and Gray Hughes. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on.
And today we're talking about a baleful beast that lives in a silken layer, but more on that later.
It sounds like I need to draw my sword and gather a party.
Yeah.
To go and take it down.
You do. You really do. But we're talking about the funnel web spider, more specifically the southern tree-dwelling funnel web spider.
It's really kind of funnel web spiders in general, but that's the one that had a lot of the most info. That's a long name, the southern tree-dwelling funnel web spider. It's yeah. Two hyphenated words in there. Get out of town. We're going to call it here the symbiote. Steady Brock. And the funnel of love. My voice cracked there. All of this will become apparent later.
Same.
You're going to become apparent later.
Hopefully.
yeah, I'm not happy that the first thing I came up with included the word simp, but, here we are.
You're basically Gen Z.
Yeah, it's basic. Yeah. I've devolved. Someone help. I've watched too many children's programming shows. Which is a thing that people that's a thing that people say. that's a way to. I've watched too many children's shows, and now I've regressed, and so I say things like "simp." And who knows? Maybe I'll even throw a yeet in there. Maybe I'll yeet a yeet in there. You don't even know what I'm gonna do.
So it's not that you learned those words.
No, it's that I've.
You have regret. You're Benjamin Buttoning linguistically.
Yes. I've become less intelligent and mature. All right, enough about Gen Z, please. at least enough about Gen Z idioms. Let's taxonomize this.
Okay. Should I do
that? I'm waiting.
Okay. Well, it's in the kingdom you know, love, and are in, the kingdom Animalia. It's in the phylum Arthropoda. It's in the subphylum Chelicerata.
The best subphylum, if you ask me.
We do a lot of spiders. We're in the class Arachna, or Arachnida. The order is Arinae. Cucucanium. I just remember every time I go through a spider taxonomy, I remember that spider Latin name from Spider-Man. In the one scene where, like, the lady's giving them a tour about around the spiders.
Oh, and his teacher aggressively says, like, I'm going to absolutely suspend you and hoist you by your petards if you say one more word.
Let's talk about how we listen. In for order is Mygalomorphae. The family is Atricidae, a war of Atricidae, or Atricidae. Atracidae.
I would say Atricidae.
Atracidae. The genus is Hadronic. Hadronic? How do you pronounce that?
N-Y-C-H-E.
Niche?
I don't think...
Hadronic?
That sounds too French.
Hadronice?
Yeah, I think you need to pronounce the E.
Hadronice.
Yeah.
And the species is Cerbera. Hadronice Cerbera. Cerberia, actually.
Cerberia. That's the companion to Captain Crunch, Cerberi. All right. Well, since we're in the business of naming things, it's time for my favorite part of the show, Nitty Gritty Nomenclature, the part of the show where I ask you, Joe, a question, and that question is, what is the translation, the English translation for the binomial nomenclature? Hadronici? Nietzsche, I guess. Call it Nietzsche, like the philosopher. Cerberia. Does that mean A, thick nest guardian? B, spiral web head? C, dog-like gatherer? Or D, spinning center band?
Give me the first two again.
Thick nest guardian and spiral web head. And then the next two are dog-like gatherer and spinning center band.
Spinning center band, final answer.
That is incorrect. I thought that would be the one to trip you up. I'm quite proud of it.
If I go with like the ones that I think it might be because of the word, it's always a red herring because you also think that I know, also know that I will think that because you also know what it sounds like. Cerberus.
Yeah, it sounds like Cerberus and
guardian?
Like, and guardian. And Hadron, like the Hadron Collider is this big spinning like donut where they make atoms hit each other. So I figured like that was a spinning thing. But no, it means thick nest guardian is the answer, yes. Hadron is... Hadro is thick or stout. The Nisha, however you pronounce it, is like a nest. It is where niche comes from, like a pocket or a nest. And then Cerberia is related to Cerberus, which is guardian of the underworld. It's a Greek term. So there you go. It guards a thick nest, which is, I mean, appropriate. At least it makes sense.
It sure does. Yeah, so I heard Cerberus, and I also thought Cerberus, and I thought it was red herring.
This one was particularly hard to do. Anytime I searched like the Hadronice, the answer was always it's a genus of spiders. So I actually had to split it up and find out what each individual section meant. So this requires me to do work, and so this is my least favorite part of the show now.
Yeah, now you know what it feels like to prepare Measure Up every week.
Yeah, but both of us have to do math for Measure Up, so
I have to do math, but I also have to do research and history and think of something funny to compare this thing to.
Oh, you love it.
Measure Up is like half the show in terms of time. Anyway, speaking of that, do you want to know what it looks like?
I do.
The funnel web spider typically has a robust, but well, typically it does have a robust body, similar in shape to a tarantula. The colors can vary based on the specific species, but they're often earth tones, like most spiders, brown, black, or gray. They have long legs that are agile, each equipped with setae and spines, which help sense movement and disturbances in the force. Their eyes are tiny and arranged in two rows. There's eight of them, typical of spiders. And they also have spinnerets like on their butts, like most spiders that shoot out silk for construction purposes. That being said, let's talk about its size and dimensions. When we're thinking of a spider, we're wanting to know, how big is it? Is it scary?
That's probably one of the most important dimension a spider can have, is how big is it.
And that and the LD50 for their venom. Welcome to the Blood Measure Up segment, the official listener's favorite part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from a spider. Carlos can guess who it is.
All right. It's a lot of options.
Running low on... Yeah, we've done a lot of them.
Is it Anansi?
Who's Anansi?
Anansi the spider. He's the... An old, an African fable about a spider that helps a lion. I don't know. Look it up. I've read it in a book a long time ago.
No idea who that is. But no, it is not that person or spider. Without further ado, the listener's favorite part of the show.
That's a lie. Hagrid never opened the Chamber of Secrets.
Then you're not the monster.
No.
Aragog.
You know where? Yeah, okay, so you do know this spider.
Yes, I'm a fan of the Harry Potter's movies, at least, so. Yes, Aragog. The Acromantula. Especially because when you play Hogwarts Legacy, you're going to spend a lot of time killing spiders. Unless you click the arachnophobia.
Skip this game content because I'm too scared.
Mode, yeah. Oh, no. What they do is they replace him with something else. Now that I'm saying it, I can't believe I have not turned that on at least for a little bit just to see what they actually do. They probably just turn them into like people or something like that. Or goblins or what have you.
RC cars.
It just turned them all into to Krispy Kreme
Lightning
donuts.
Lightning McQueen. yeah, that's Aragog. Let's talk length. Between 1 to 5 centimeters or 0.4 to 2 inches. How many funnel web spiders go into the height of the tallest point on the Sydney Opera House? Here's a hint. The Sydney Opera House was first opened by Queen Elizabeth II in 1973. I'm sure she built it with her own two hands and cut the ribbon and opened those doors. She wasn't just sitting in a palace doing nothing. It is currently home to Opera Australia, the Australian Ballet, and the Sydney Theatre Company.
I would not be surprised if she cut the ribbon, though.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Oh, yeah, well. As a small aside, it's crazy to think that she just died, like, last year. I can't imagine being, like, a lifelong UK resident and, like, being there for generations
and having her have been the queen for like 80 something years
for their grandfather's life.
Yeah, and then yeah. and then you're and then she's just gone. And it's not like anything about your day-to-day life really changes all that much, but like it's just such a constant since World War II or soon after. And now it's just changed. I guess that's the case if you like for any country that has a leader that sticks around for a while. Like I imagine a lot of Canadians only know Justin Trudeau as their prime minister. Or a lot of Russians only know Putin as their whatever he is.
Dictators. But to her credit, she was at the Sydney Opera House opening.
Was she?
October of 1973, yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you commission something, you might as well go look at it.
Yeah, but it's like kind of like George R. R. Martin wrote the story of Elden Ring. Like, he doesn't even know the story of Elden Ring. He didn't know. He didn't
write it. He produced it.
Some stuff. On a napkin and gave it to From Software, and they're like, all right, we'll turn this into a game.
Yeah, we're just going to take out all of the disgusting stuff that you wrote on this napkin.
And put in different kinds of disgusting stuff.
Yeah, we're going to take all of the like human atrocities that you otherwise would have written into this and just put in an Eldritch monster. Okay.
Eldritch atrocities, yeah.
All right, so the Sydney Opera House, I'm going to say Els... 100 feet high. This just, I'm just not gonna, it's just a good, a nice solid number, good strong number, 100. Funnelweb spiders go into the height of the Sydney Opera House tallest tooth, the tooth of time.
Final answer?
Yep.
The correct answer is 1,340.
Oh, it's 200 foot tall.
219 feet or 67 meters.
That is tall. It's a tall one.
It's a little long in the tooth.
I've actually, like, I have no real reference for this because, A, I've never been to the Opera House, but anytime I've seen it, it's always just like a silhouette of it, or it's like really far away. So I've never seen like, oh, this is what a person looks like next to it. So it was just it's ignorance on my part. I just got to go visit Sydney. Drat.
I've never even seen a picture up close. It's always the skyline.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the most iconic building in the entire country, so.
Yeah, and was built for them by another country.
Which at the time probably wasn't, I don't know when Australia got.
No, it was technically like yesterday.
Considered another country, but.
Like they were the UK until yesterday.
Okay, until the Queen died last year.
Yeah, and then they were free. Let's talk lifespan. They live to be about 20 years old, which is pretty crazy.
That is a long time for a spider to be alive. Maybe too long.
Their childhood lasts like 7 years. They're like adolescents for 7 years. And they live alone.
Playing Elden Ring.
Latch funnel kids, yeah.
Latch
funnel. How many funnel web spider lifespans go into the age of the city of Damascus?
Well, I know Damascus is at least 2,000 years old. We'll start there.
Well, here's a hint. Damascus is famously the city where Paul was traveling to when he had an encounter with Jesus post-resurrection and ascension, in which he was confronted for persecuting Christians and temporarily blinded. Technically, he was confronted for persecuting Christ himself. He said, "Why do you persecute me?"
That's true.
And Paul had a change of heart and name. Although only he only he still he had both of those names. It's not like Saul in the Old Testament where he changed and got a name change. It's his Greek name, Paul, or his Roman name. Damascus is in modern day Syria.
It's always been in Syria.
Yeah. But it's still there. It's still there in modern times. Yeah. So we're talking about when it was founded. There were clearly, like, this is the cradle of civilization general area. So there were people living there for a long time. But like, when was it like probably officially founded? When did it start showing up in written history as a notable city called Damascus?
I mean, I'm going to put it right there with, maybe like, what is it? Ramses were the, when Moses let the Israelites out, I think the city was Ramses.
It's a there's a contentious between Ramses and another guy.
I think the city was named Ramses though.
Oh.
So I don't know. Moses was like what? 1900 BC. I want to say.
That seems shallow.
It seems shallow. I know that the time
shallow in history.
The time of the king started in 1000 BC. So I'm trying to just work my way back from that.
Moses was, well, I don't know, but it's like 14th century, 13th century, so you weren't far off, I guess.
I will go with, I'll still go with, I'm gonna say 4,000 years. Fine. My answer is 200. 200 lifespans. That's, man, that just seems like such a small number. Like, 220-year-olds back-to-back would make,
get you,
like,
back to the founding of Damascus.
Gets you back to, like, almost the start of civilization. Like, it's, that's kind of nuts. But, sure, 200.
The correct answer is 251.2 lifespans. Damascus was founded around 3000 BC, making it around 5,024 years old. But it was inhabited long before that. Pretty much since, like, back to when we first, when humans were first, like, putting fingerprints on stuff, handprints on stuff.
So that is a 79.6 nursing school victory, rounding up.
Nice.
That is so barely a victory, but
it feels like it's pretty close in the grand scheme.
I mean, it is a difference of like, of 1,000 years, though. Like, I was off by 1,000 years, which is pretty significant.
It's one Elrond.
One Elrond?
Like, not, like, less than an Elrond.
I mean, Elrond was like,
Legolas, right?
Elrond was like 20,000 years old. Something like that. No, he's not.
Yeah, oh, I think, so it's more like a Legolas.
I think it was something like 7,000 or 8,000 years old. I have the timeline in a magazine I got.
This has nothing to do with anything, but now I want to know how old Legolas was.
They don't really know. Just like, there's a good guess for like Arwen being 2,500 years old. I don't
know. Oh, really? Okay.
Based on like the based on the timing of Elrond's wife's death. Anyway, we don't have time. We are going off the rails here.
Which makes it funny because she was thousands of years old when little baby Aragorn came to Rivendell and they became good buddies. She was probably his babysitter and his piano teacher.
Is that weirder than like, what's his name? Twilight guy.
Is it weirder than
is that weirder than Edward? Yeah, being like 500 and wanting to date a 17-year-old.
An active 17-year-old. Actively 17. Meaning she's like currently 17. Edward is said to have the like mental capacity of a 17-year-old.
Is that part of the curse of being a vampire?
Yeah, you're kind of like frozen in that time.
Ooh, then suddenly longevity does not sound that great if you're just like locked into the mental capacity of that time that you're given it. That's rough.
Well, your highs are higher and your lows are lower when you're a teenager.
So, yeah, but you're just bad at making decisions and risk evaluation.
True.
And
but at least you're like really durable.
You're also really bad at specifically like long-term thinking and delayed gratification, which is something you gotta get good at when you live for thousands of years.
But but let's get into some fast facts before we get into the major fact.
Sure.
Where do they live? They live in Eastern Australia. And they prefer a range of environments, including grasslands, forests, and gardens. While many funnel web spiders build webs close to the ground, our tree-dwelling friend lives in trees or higher vegetation.
Makes sense.
More on the venom later, but if you get bit, are you going to talk about what happens if a human being gets bit?
Yes.
Then if you get bit, find out later. if you got bit right now, just call 911. Don't wait for the end of the podcast.
Yeah, because all we're going to do is tell you what you're currently experiencing.
Funnel web spiders, including the species that we're talking about, construct silk retreats, commonly known as funnels. These are tubular sheet-like structures that serve as the spider's shelter and hunting ground. They're ambush predators, so they like to stick their little bodies in there and wait for stuff. The funnel is typically positioned in a protected location, like rocks or leaf litter or burrows. And the funnel web spiders retreat. What? Retreat? I said that two times. Their hole consists of silk-lined tunnels leading to a wider flat area resembling a funnel.
Makes sense.
And they'll wait at the narrow end of the funnel, usually hidden from view, and monitor the situation on tiny little screens.
Yeah, they have Simply Safe.
Until they'll feel like sensitive vibrate. They don't have screens. They instead feel kind of like Andrew Garfield in The Amazing Spider-Man 2. The Amazing Spider-Man 1, where he like sits on the web and feels for vibrations. And then when the silk threads send vibrations up its like sensitive little legs, they'll quickly emerge and capture it and devour it.
Yeah, that's the scene where, dressed as Spider-Man, he brings along like a camera or something that has a sticker on it that says "Property of Peter Parker." Which I think precipitates the rest of the movie. It's like, man, that was a pretty big whoopsie.
Maybe he stole it from Peter Parker. Jonah Jameson keeps saying it. He's a menace, so maybe he's a thief.
Yeah, that's not the conclusion that the
lizard man comes
our villain comes to, and it turns out he's correct. So,
but that's all I got. Do you have any big facts?
Sure. We're calling this fact mood stings. Let's get emotional spiders to all wear mood stings.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that song would so not fly today.
Mood Rings by Reliant K.
Absolutely not. Not PC. I was just humming it today when I was writing this out. I was like, man. Now viewed from this lens, I can see a lot of people being very upset by it. I still love it though. So for the funnel web spider, they are some of the most deadly spiders on Earth. Some would even say it's the deadliest spider, but there's a lot of different metrics to go by for that. One of the major things that makes the funnel web spider venom so famous is the fact that it can kill humans. So where like a brown recluse or a black widow will do a lot of, you know, damage, like there's necrosis. If you have an allergic reaction, obviously it can be lethal, or if you're, you know, immunocompromised in some way. But for the most part, getting bit by one of those spiders is not going to kill, like, a normal full-grown person. But that's not necessarily the case with funnel web spiders. Untreated, you have a decent likelihood of not making it if you get bit by one of these guys. It has, on record, claimed 13 lives. But all of those were before anti-venom was developed. So going forward, getting treatment will pretty much save your life. But the lethality of the funnel web venom stems from a neurotoxin in there called delta hexatoxin, which is fatal to humans because it targets the central nervous system. Basically, it attacks the nerves and causes them to fire constantly. So they're in a perpetually activated state, which causes muscle spasms. It causes blood pressure to drop rapidly. And eventually you'll go into a coma, and then then organ failure, ultimately death. This can happen within a few hours of being bitten. And obviously it depends on the individual person and also the amount of venom that you are given by the spider, which we'll get into here in a bit. But again, anti-venom, it was a great invention. So male funnel web spiders are much more venomous than their female counterparts. I had to sift through quite a few articles literally titled Toxic Masculinity. Pray for me. The reason for males having more powerful venom is because all funnel web spiders eat mainly insects. So they need enough venom to take down smaller insects, which is not a lot of venom. Insects are, you know, they're small, they're easy to kill, especially if you're a spider. I guess even more so if you're a human, but still. The males, though, in order to mate, the males seek out the females. Like God intended. But So the females get to hang out in their burrows, in their webs, for their whole lives. They don't necessarily need to venture out and put themselves in harm's way because they're ambush predators. Prey comes to them. Males, on the other hand, in order to find a female mate, they need to leave their burrow and traverse the... who is that voice actor in the Deadly Dangerous Creatures? Billy Bob Thornton. to traverse Billy Bob Thornton's trailer park, to find their soulmate, which obviously exposes them to predators like lizards, geckos, marsupials, smaller marsupials, and rats and birds. So to die less often or have a greater chance of survival, their venom actually undergoes transformation and it becomes a lot more potent so that it can take down these much larger threats than just insects. And that includes humans. And researchers have done a lot of studies on funnel web spider venom because of its potency. It has uses in pesticides, pharmaceuticals, and then obviously anti-venom for treating, you know, funnel web spider bites. Pretty important in those areas. They've done a lot of research into the molecular complexity of that venom, but they haven't done a lot of research into the spider's behavior in regards to the venom until recently. So they recently found that factors like the spider's heart rate and their defensive mood play a role in determining the proportions of the chemicals that are delivered through the fangs in the venom. So there's several species that have been identified to manipulate their venom like this, but there's one called the Border Ranges funnel web spider. And they found an association or a correlation between higher heart rate and more potent venom concentrate, more a greater concentration of the delta hexatoxin toxin or neurotoxin that in each like cubic nanometer or whatever of venom. So they make behavioral trade-offs basically. If they're when they're because generating venom is a cost, and so everything in nature, like you have to these animals subconsciously you know, both consume energy and expend energy. And for a lot of animals, the metabolic cost of producing something like venom is sometimes not worth injecting it. So if in a situation where it's not super threatened, but threatened slightly, it might use a less venom or a less potent version of the venom in order to save on the metabolic costs of replacing it. But if its heart rate is high, if it's super defensive, if it's, I guess, feeling attacked for real, like it's life or death, then, its venom will be extremely, extremely potent. So because it uses its venom for both offense and defense, offense to capture prey, defense to not be prey, defensive venom tends to be more potent than offensive venom. And the researchers are trying to understand the behavioral part of this to make better anti-venom. Yeah. So they are, and I know I said mood stings. They're not stinging you. They are biting you, but sue me. But yeah, that's the, that's all I got. That's, they, if they're feeling on the ropes, they'll give you all they got. You'll float like a butterfly and bite like a funnel web spider.
Interesting.
But don't so usually I think
apply a tourniquet.
Usually I think that, you know, whenever I hear like, oh, Australia is full of like super deadly stuff, like everything there is trying to kill you. I'm like, oh, that's just overblown internet nonsense. This is one of those cases where that's not where it's definitely very real. obviously like there's a lot of stuff in Australia that is very venomous. I think Florida might give Australia a run for its money in terms of deadly creatures. And I think that Central Africa would also give both of those places a run for their money in terms of deadly creatures. I think I'd rather.
Yeah, the thing about like Africa and America is that we have like extremely venomous snakes, but and like small things that have a lot of venom in them, but also like predatory megafauna. So there's that.
But in Africa, they bears have both tigers of those things. They have extremely venomous snakes, spiders, and also a lot more different kinds of predatory megafauna.
Yeah.
Like, we have to deal with bears. That's pretty much the only...
And don't, like, don't get too close to a bison.
Yeah, but it's not preying on you. In Africa, you have all kinds of big cats. You have crocodiles, hyenas, wild dogs. It's, yeah. In terms of everything is trying to kill you, I think that takes the cake.
True.
Australia is just fun to meme on, I suppose. But I mean, don't mess with funnel web spiders. it's different because like, if you're sleeping in your house in Central Africa, you are not very likely to be attacked by a leopard or something like that. But if you're sleeping in your house in Brisbane, you very well might have a funnel web spider in your bedroom with you. So definitely a different kind of threat.
Very true.
That's all I got. You got anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. For you out there in podcasts, yeah, that was the funnel web spider. Head out from your burrow. Keep an eye out for lizards and birds and stuff. And hand out whatever toxins you feel like. Like the funnel web spider here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we now have a Patreon. Patrons can see full video episodes and get shoutouts on the show. But ultimately, it's a way for you to help us cover some costs and get even better. Still, reviews are the best way to help us grow. So if you haven't left one yet, we'd really love to hear from you. As always, thanks for listening and engaging.
Just hand out toxins. Be a toxic masculine.